He said, so are you looking for a car? I said, I sure am. I'm looking for one. He said, well, I've got this 97 Chrysler. I owe $5,700 on it. He said, that's the payoff on it. He said, it's got 60,000 miles on it. There's not a thing wrong with it. Would you be interested in it? I said, I'll take it. If God told you to call me, it's my car. He brought that car out. He could not transfer that. He went down to American Airlines Credit Union where he had it financed. He could not get that car transferred. He tried to trade it into the dealer. He spent all day in that place trying to get the title transferred, and they couldn't get it done all day long. He said, when I left that afternoon, I was so mad at him. I thought, what is going on? And the next day when he called me for that evening, and the next day when he brought the car up, I had already went down to the bank. I said, I don't know where they'll take a check down there. So I went down to my bank. I drew out the $5,700 in $100 bills. And when he got there, I said, okay. He drove and said, you want to drive it? I said, no, let's go. Let's go down to American Airlines and let's transfer it to my name. He said, well, Thurman, don't you want to look under the hood? I said, no, I don't need to see nothing. God told you to call me. It's my car. God don't never make a mistake. I don't need to do nothing except just drive this thing. So we went down to American Airlines. We walked in there and said, this 97 Chrysler, this serial number, we need to transfer to my name. The lady said, go right over to that window right there, and I'll have the title there by the time you get there. I walked over there. It was. I said, how much you owe? She said, $5,765. I think it was. I said, she said, how do you want to pay for it? I said, you take cash. She said, I do. I handed her the $100 bill. She counted them out. In 5 minutes, I was out of there with that car in my name. See? And I'm still driving it. I never had no problems with it. It's just run perfect all these years. Got 110,000 miles on it now. Never had no troubles with it whatsoever. See, when you serve God, God will take care of you. You don't have to worry about nothing. But he didn't put me in a brand new $50,000 or $60,000 car. He put me in a 97 Chrysler with 60,000 miles on it, which I could pay for, which I had no payments. See? Now, see, somebody said, well, I don't want to drive an old 97 Chrysler. You know, I want a brand new one. Okay. Well, when you get to the point where you got that kind of money and you can make it, then maybe you can drive that kind of car. But see, when you humble yourself before God, he'll give you something to drive. And when he gives you something, I worshiped and praised him for that 97 Chrysler just like I would have if that had been a $100,000 car. You know, as far as I was concerned, that thing got me back and forth everywhere I wanted to go, very comfortable. Very comfortable. You know, I mean, who needs anything better than that? See? But yeah, I learned a lesson through that trial and test. Don't spend all my money. Pay my house off. You know, live in a small house, something I can afford. Something that if my wife is working, if she is, and all of a sudden if she loses her job, it ain't going to make any difference in our income. I see people all the time, young men and young women getting married, and they got to keep up with the Joneses. So they go buy them a big, beautiful home that they can barely make payments on with both of them working. And then, lo and behold, what usually happens to most couples after they get married, mama gets pregnant. And then when mama gets pregnant, she's got to stop working. It's hard to work. Of course, I know you girls are just wimps, you know. You girls ought to be able to work right up to the day, deliver the baby, go back to work tomorrow. That's what y'all need to be able to do. But that's not the way it works, is it? Not hardly. You can't do that. But, you know, that's the way the system is set up. You almost have to do that to keep going. And then when you wind up with that little critter, you find out that there's more expenses involved there. And now you really got a problem because you got baby or babies to take care of. And now mama's got to stay home. And now then you're in a strait. I can't make it. Hey, sell that big house. Get you a little one. Sell your fancy high-dollar car, get you a cheap one, you know, and go from there. And that's the way you got to do that. But I went through one of those trials and tests, and God taught me a lesson in that one, that I started saving money. I stopped spending money. He knew I would never. If he'd have left me like I was, I could have got to $100,000 a year, and I'd have spent every nickel, and I'd have still been in debt. But he put that test on me, and I learned my lesson, and I saw what he was doing. I didn't really understand all this then, but I started saving money, putting money in investments and taking care of it and everything. And then, of course, from that day forth, I never was out of money. Now then, it wasn't but a few months till I was able to go back to flying again, and I had a good income again, but I lived on a very low amount of money, and I put all that money in investments and savings. I saved it. I didn't wastefully throw it away. I didn't go out and buy things just because I had the money. I didn't go out and buy things I didn't need. I saved it. And so by doing that, in later life, I was able to build me another beautiful home, you know, and pay cash for it. I never borrowed a penny when I built that big, beautiful two-story home out there that I've now given to my son and his wife. I never borrowed a penny to buy it, you know, but I have not bought big, fancy automobiles, you know, because I didn't have that kind of money. If I'd have done that, then I wouldn't have the money to build that house. So anyway, you got to learn through your trials and tests. And when you learn what God's trying to teach you through your trials and tests, you can come to a new level. And, of course, one of the things that the devil does, you know, if you don't know there's a devil out there by now, if you come to this church, you probably realize there's a devil out there. Because I talk about him once in a while. But I'm going to tell you that if you don't know it yet, you have a team of personal devils assigned to you from the day you're born. And those personal devils are assigned to you to put you to the test through your life. You know, they're there. God sends them. You know, he has given the devil the job to take care of all these things, to put you and me to the test as we go through life, to try us, to see what we're made out of. God tests and proves us through everything in your life. He is behind everything that goes on. He's behind everything. He knows what's going on. And now some people have a hard time with this, that God would do that to you. Well, let me tell you, we're going to read some things today out of the Scriptures. We're going to start here in a few minutes in Matthew chapter 7 is where we're going to go. And I'm going to show you some of these things that God says he will do in his word that the average person really don't believe God will do what he says. But this book is full of things that God wrote, and if he wrote it, that's what you're going to be judged around. So you better read the owner's manual. Thank you, Jesus, for the word. The most important thing in the world, the word. Matthew 7. Matthew 7, 7 is where we're going to start out. Matthew 7, 7, I'll be reading out the NLT. And this is about how to make prayer become effective in your life. This is what Jesus was teaching us, how to make prayer work for you. And many of us are like I was most of my life as a Southern Baptist deacon, Sunday school teacher, and all that thing, all those things that I did in church all of my life. I guess until I was 40 years old, I don't remember if I ever saw God answer a prayer, you know, for myself. If I did, I didn't know it. What a shame. You know, what a shame that I can be in church and serving God and don't know how to pray. Don't know how to ask for anything in faith, but he's no respecter of persons. He makes no difference who you are. Makes no difference if you're one of his Sunday school teachers, one of his deacons, or whatever you are. Makes no difference if you don't do it his way. He's not going to do it for you. You got to do things God's way. He's written a book. He watches over his word to perform his word. And he's not hard to get along with at all, as long as you do it his way. You know, when you do it his way, hey, he's great. When you don't do it his way, he just don't do nothing. You know, so, you know, he said, Benjamin, you're not doing it my way, son. You ain't getting nothing. But when you said, but Lord, I'll do it your way, he said, fine, now we're getting somewhere. Now then, we're getting somewhere. So this is in 7:7. This is something that a lot of people ask me since I've learned how to walk in faith and have seen the Lord answer my prayers in so many miraculous, wonderful ways in the last 20 years. Is it a sin if I ask God to do something for me more than once? You know, now you'll see some people that'll tell you. And of course, one of the greatest preachers that I know of, he said, if I prayed for you once, that's all I need to pray for you. He was a great man of faith. And once in a while, when God moves on my heart like that, I even do that. In fact, the other day, we had an experience just like this. The other day, Cheryl was getting ready to go to a meeting to get money from different groups for these Christmas gifts for these kids. And she started to put a little bit more eyebrow stuff or something on her eyelids or eyebrows or whatever she was doing. And she stuck that pencil in her eye. Well, I mean, when she did, her eyes started watering. She's tearing. And now then all the makeup she's put on is running off into tears. And she come running and said, honey, you got to pray for me. And I first told her, I said, well, you know, maybe God's going to do something among all these groups. She's going to speak to a men's group. I said, maybe he's going to do something with the eye, with all the makeup running down your face, you know. Who knows what he's going to do, you know. You know, God can do great things, you know. So who knows why this happened. But I said, okay. But she said, I don't want it like this. I said, okay, I understand this, so I pray for you. So I prayed and asked the Lord to fix her eye. Well, 20 minutes later, she calls me back, and she said, I'm just 10 minutes from being there. My eye's not any better. You got to pray again. And I just jumped right back at her, and I said, no, I prayed once. It's done. I guarantee your eye's healed in the name of Jesus. She said, oh, okay. She called me back 5 minutes later and said, my eye's perfect. There's not a thing wrong with it. So, see, sometimes you have to just get bold like this, and then sometimes there's other ways to get it done. But the scripture says, in my translation, it says, keep on asking. Ask. Keep on asking, and you will be given what you ask for. Keep on asking. Now, there's been many a time in mine and Cheryl's life that I have had to pray for her something 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 times before the answer came. I remember her knee. I mean, when we first got married about nearly 3 years ago, she had a bad knee. Now, she'd had it for years, and it'd swell up on her and everything. And I noticed every time she'd do something wrong or she'd bend down and she couldn't walk. You know, she'd happen to get down on her knee or do something. Or she could just do anything that would put pressure on that knee and it'd swell up. I said, what happened? She said, oh, years ago, I knocked it out of place by riding in a club, you know, where you these fitness clubs. She was exercising and her foot slipped out and she knocked her knee completely out and had to go to surgery. I don't know what all that. Did they do surgery on your knee, honey? No, I just said rehab. Had to go to rehab, but the knee gave her trouble after that all these years. And every time she'd do anything, she couldn't walk. It'd get sore. It'd swell up and everything else. So I started praying over it. I'd pray over that leg. I'd lay hands on that knee, and I'd pray over it and ask the Lord to heal it, and it'd get good for a week or two, and then it'd do it again. Well, I'd come right back, and I'd attack it again. I said, that demon of hell in there that's messing it up, I said, I'm going to kick him out. Last thing I ever do, I'm going to kick him out. And I'd pray over it again. It'd get good for a week or two or three, and then it'd be back. I did this over and over and over for about 8 months without fail.
We're going to have to stop right there for today, but we'll start again tomorrow with a teaching. And if you'd like to have these teachings in their entirety, if you would just give us a call, we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. That's at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. And we'll send them to you free and postpaid. Or you can go to our website. You can listen to these teachings again from the website, or you can get them free and postpaid from www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That's the Living Savior Ministries. There you can listen to these again, or you can order them free and postpaid, and many other teachings free and postpaid from our website. Praise the Lord Jesus.